Welcome. Greetings and welcome to TIU Radio, theinfounderground.com. I'm your host, Ogner. Today's date is Wednesday, the 11th of March in the year 2009 or so, they tell us. Work is quieting down here. Really has shut down. There's no work here at the moment, which kind of suits me to get some of my shit together and get my person up before the doo-doo hits the proverbial fan. And you know, interesting to see the Dow Jones and Nasdaq up 5% and 6% yesterday. Ain't going to last. There'll be ups and there're going to be a lot more downs. And having some time, you know, easy time. If there's work out there, I could go and do it if I wanted. I'm not looking for it. I'm trying to get my personal needs sorted out. I need a new bed and got that sorted out. I need to get medals for the dogs. It's a Swiss tax, 109 Swiss francs for a dog, 147 Swiss francs for the second dog, and I presume that's some sort of a poo-poo tax or something, unless they catch you or they give you another fine for that. Made some appointments to do some stuff, got some financial banking stuff sorted out that I'd been putting on hold and whatever. So it was an interesting day yesterday, the market going up. Got an email off a buddy saying, ha ha, the market's coming back. No, it ain't, motherfucker. The market ain't coming back. Market might go up, but it's going to go down. So it just puts me in my personal predicament. What is my views of what's going on? Doom and gloom, obviously, but doom and gloom saying that just to break people's spirits a little bit and bring them down, you know, wake them up a little bit to reality. You have to judge not. I'll rephrase that. I'm trying to put myself in a certain mind frame, mindset. Where will we be in 1 year now? Wouldn't it be great if the Dow Jones was 20,000 and the Nikkei was up and gold was up and hedge funds were up and all this shit was up? It would be great, but it's not going to happen. So I have to believe either in myself, in my research, and my interpretation of the research, because anyone can show you anything on any subject and you mightn't understand it. You mightn't understand the point, or you might over understand. You might really understand it and see something that the rest of the people don't see. And I see dire straits, but that's you know we're not there right now today. We're getting there. I'm trying to look after my friends and family. I've warned them. Double warned them, triple warned them, I've also told them who the criminal network are, who they are, and if they don't like me saying a particular Talmudic group, not my problem, because in a year's time, things will all have changed. Now, I'm just reading from the Irish Times, actually from the globalpost.com. It says, in Ireland, the game is up. The game is up. Now, this hasn't filtered down to the people yet. Now, although you had 120,000 people demonstrating in Dublin 2 weeks ago, the majority of people still don't understand what's going on. And to understand what's going on, you need to understand the markets and how the markets are manipulated by a certain Talmudic persuasion that brought the market down in 1929 after getting ownership of printing money in 1913, just before Christmas. I must be nuts or something. I mean, follow the money. I mean, what can I say? You just follow the money. I'm going to play you a little clip now from Al Jazeera. It's and they're going to be play a little clip by Max Kaiser. He's part of it, explaining this naked short selling and what people need to take into consideration. And I don't give a shit whether you believe me or not, or you think I'm an anti something or anti this or anti global. I don't care. It doesn't make any difference. Our time now is to prepare. We're going to be going into some major changes in the next year or two, and we're going to have to see how we're going to do when we come out of this. And just be, if we prepare ourselves, we'll do okay. I'm not saying we'll do okay and we have a bigger television. Fuck the television. I don't care about that materialistic bullshit. Your health, your family, your friends, your sanity are more important than certain Talmudic values that we have on Talmud Vision, MTV Talmud Vision, and you know, BBC Talmud Vision, and Sky News Talmud Vision, and Fox News Talmud Vision, and Sky News CNBC Talmud Vision High Definition HD, so they can get even more of their ideas across. The stock market is a big Ponzi scheme, and we have Mr. Madoff today going to apparently admit he's committed some crimes. I wonder, will he be in his prison in Manhattan tonight, or he'll be along with a whole lot of hard-hitting motherfuckers that will be paid from someone on the outside to fuck the guy up. I mean, seriously, guy, 50 billion, it could be 65 billion, it could be 10 billion. He blew the cover on the money Ponzi scheme, the stock market, which goes up and down and whatever, manipulated, gold market, manipulated. While we go along, and if you notice over the years, the government keeps getting bigger. But I'm going to go back to this little clip. It's from Al Jazeera, so it's an introduction by pretty girl, I don't know what her name is on Al Jazeera. She does People and Power. She was doing People and Power, and she has Max on to explain a little bit about the scam, the financial. Because I've always said follow the money, and I've said that for years and years. Follow the money. You know, when you've no money, you might go you can't do anything, or you'll do things to get money. You know, rob a bank or whatever. But when you make the money and you control the whole thing, it's something else. And we go back to 1929, the crash of 1929. All the Jewish bankers and their friends were told to leave. I don't think they were told to leave. I think they were actually, it was just an organized game. It's like you're playing a poker game, you know, 5-6 people playing, there's 2 or 3 that are playing together. I've seen that happen several times. Hard to beat the numbers, hard to beat the odds, I know it is. But these people are devastating, absolutely devastating the common people all over the world, whether you be in Africa or in Asia or in Europe or in America, South America, Australia, doesn't make any difference. That money that you've worked hard for, that you invest, you hope is going to be a good investment, is totally open to manipulation. So here we go. Al Jazeera, I think it's from 2008. I'm not quite so sure. I didn't save the file as with the data should have.
Pull their resources into products called funds so they can punch way above their weight. Pooled investments like mutual and hedge funds. Now, whereas mutual funds are weighted in favor of the small investor and are highly regulated, hedge funds are for riskier products and are weighted in favor of wealthy people who are seen as sophisticated enough to take risks that ordinary investors can't, and they're hardly regulated at all. So everybody comes out of the market a supposed winner. Max Keiser disagrees. He argues that hedge and mutual funds are manipulated to benefit brokers, bankers, and the richest investors, to the detriment of those with less power and less money.
Free markets. We're told they'll bring prosperity and freedom to all. Let the markets decide and we'll all be rich. The question I have is, are the so-called free markets rigged? Check kiting, bear raiding, front running, back dating, look back trading, pump and dumping, wash sales, match sales, blank check IPOs, parking stop, painting the tape, market timing, late trading, shearing, spring loading, bullet dodging, oh, and my favorite, naked short selling. These are just a few of the many, many, oh, so many ways that brokers, bankers, and CEOs use to defraud other market participants. In 1602, right here in Amsterdam, the first stock market started trading. Already, by 1610, market manipulators and insiders are figuring out ingenious ways to take advantage of other market participants. Now, by the 1920s, brokers and bankers had become so good at fleecing investors out of their money that the sheer weight of all that fraud led to the Great Crash of 1929. In America, the Securities and Exchange Commission, or SEC, was introduced to restore faith and credibility to the markets. A raft of legislation was brought in to protect investors from the bankers and the brokers colluding, the event that triggered the crash. Never again would markets be rigged to within an inch of their life. But recently, an SEC insider, Gary Aguirre, has written a remarkable letter to the U.S. Senate. In it, he claims, after studying the effects of what he calls the modern equivalent of the trading scams that led up to the 1929 crash, a repeat. That's right. Gary Aguirre, SEC insider, believes that we are facing, once again, market conditions that are almost exactly the same as, you guessed it, 1929.
Dear Chairman Hagel and Ranking Member Dodd, I believe our capital markets face growing risk from lightly unregulated hedge funds, just as our markets did in the 1920s from unregulated pools of money, then called syndicates, trusts, or pools. Those unregulated pools were instrumental in delivering the 1929 crash. There is growing evidence that today's pools, hedge funds, have advanced and refined the practice of manipulating and cheating other market participants.
They are basically means tested, where people have to have X amount of net worth before they're allowed to play the game. And after they're in the game, their investments are not subject to the rigors of the SEC, the New York Stock Exchange, all the regulatory agencies that keep watch on public companies.
I suggest that the good old times are now back again.
Yes, the hedge fund manager is the high-stakes croupier of choice for the super mega wealthy. They're trying to make as much money as possible at any cost. Some of these funds are bigger than countries. George Soros, for example, made a huge bet and broke the Bank of England.
The concern about hedge funds is that because they're so leveraged, in other words, for every $1 in capital invested by the shareholders in a hedge fund, they may borrow $10 or even $20 of capital from banks. If that hedge fund gets into trouble, that could put the banks potentially into trouble, and that's the concern.
How do hedge funds make so much money so consistently? Well, it's all about risk management and leverage. For example, a hedge fund might borrow $1 million to make a bet they'll roll snake eyes, while simultaneously borrowing another $900,000, making a bet that they won't throw snake eyes. Well, if they do throw snake eyes, they make $100,000. That's $1 million minus the $900,000 cost of the hedge. If they don't throw snake eyes, well, the $900,000 will pay off at $1 million. So it's really a matter of heads they win big, tails they don't lose. With odds like this, hedge fund managers never lose.
Hedge fund trading now dominates the nation's capital markets. The $2 trillion under hedge fund management are on steroids. They recycle at high velocity through the markets. With that $2 trillion, hedge funds execute up to 50% of the daily trading on the $21 trillion New York Stock Exchange. This trading is the matrix for future financial crisis.
Hedge funds allow financial institutions to offload risk that they don't want to carry on their balance sheet to people who are willing, ready, and able to assume that risk. There are others who would argue that this is a shell game, and this is a means by which banks or broker dealers or people who originate risk can sweep the risk under the carpet.
All of this shenanigans with hedge funds is not unknown. It's well documented. People understand that they're getting ripped off. Where are the regulatory authorities? Well, it appears as though the regulatory authorities in the fund community are in cahoots. There's a conflict of interest. The problem is that there's so much volume daily generated by the fund that they distort prices across the board. So the little guy gets hurt, caught in the crossfire of these huge funds shooting at each other using massive bets. It's almost a form of collective punishment for the little guy. So how about an example of this collective punishment? By the way, the rich people will tell you that they're sophisticated and therefore don't need to be regulated. I'm not sure I buy that argument. But nevertheless, they have, for example, a technique they use called naked short selling, which means that the hedge funds and the brokers get together and they counterfeit stock. They print up stock that doesn't exist, simultaneously making a bet that the value of the stock goes down. So as they counterfeit more shares and flood the market with counterfeited shares, thus driving the price of the share down, they're guaranteed to make a profit because the profit's based on the share price falling. It's called naked short selling. You would think the regulators would be against it, but they're dragging their feet. Why?
What I find amazing about the SEC and their admission that naked short selling occurs is when people question them as to who's conducting naked short sales, as in, who are the participants in naked short selling? Who are the brokers that are involved in naked short selling? Who are the brokerage firms that are sending counterfeit IOUs for ownership of stock? And the SEC doesn't want to publicly disclose who the perpetrators are.
It's a real issue because, in theory, the big manipulations that we saw back in the 19th century were as a result of not having share certificates, and you were effectively doing naked short selling. And this process has somehow reemerged in recent years, and the authorities seem to have allowed it to happen. Now, I understand it's being addressed and reviewed by the SEC as well as other regulators, but as I understand also, the practice of naked short selling is still continuing.
you know, this SEC, you know, it's regulated and all this. I mean, come on, after Madoff, after Stanford, after the market losing $50 trillion in wealth, Blackwater CEO said today, $50 trillion in wealth. You know, the world continues, you know, people go about their business. Some people got a hard. I went to see a client today, really rich guy, rich cat, and this guy used to bung me a 200 as a tip. I mean, it's unheard of. I go fix a mouse or fix windows or you know, a printer problem or something, and you don't get tips. You never get tips. But this guy has been giving me tips down for, been a client for a long time, and often paid cash and stuff, and very generous. Used to buy computers for people that work for him, and a very, very generous guy. And I noticed in the last 2 months he hadn't paid me. He owed me about 10 grand. So today was my first opportunity to go and see him, and I said to him, you know, what's going on? And credit crunch. One of these guys lost some money with Madoff. He said, no, it's bloody already. I didn't even know I was invested with this guy until I got a letter from some of the private banks here. And I said to him, were many people in Geneva? He said, more than you think, and they won't tell you. It affected, you know, up to 3 million people that they reckoned were involved in this Ponzi scheme. So I'm seeing effects of the credit crunch myself. And the guy's a nice guy. I like him as a client. I like him as a human being. And you know, he'll have to cut down. It was funny. He said to me, he has an easy lifestyle. He's a taxi guy, does things for him. I'm his computer guy. He has, you know, some guy for his phones, and he's not very technically minded. Really a nice guy, but not very thing. And he said, waiting on this credit to get some the credit crunch to go over, to get some credit, to get in some liquidity, because what he's missing is liquidity. He has assets but no liquidity. He said you know what I did yesterday afternoon? I said, no, what to do, John? He said, I went to the cinema. He said, I went and seen a movie, and he said it was one of these new homosexual movies with Sean Penn. He said, absolutely disgusting. Disgusting. He hadn't been to the cinema in I don't know how many years. So instead of, you know, staying in his office on an afternoon, he went off to the cinema. Now, moving on, I was reading a story there yesterday on Market Watch, posted by Thomas Kissingen, and he's talking about the $700 trillion elephant, which is these unregulated derivatives, these weapons of financial destruction against us all, and these. Try to get my. I think all the banks are failed, just about all of them. All the big ones have no liquidity, and I don't care what it says in their balance sheet. These people cheat and lie and steal, and they can readjust the numbers, and the governments are in cahoots, and the SEC are in cahoots, and we still haven't dealt with this huge problem of these derivatives. And you know, estimates are now going out to three-quarters of a quadrillion dollars. And if you notice, when AIG got all the first $60 billion, they paid Deutsche Bank and JP Morgan and all the Rothschild banks. They got paid their counterparties in these swaps, these hedges, these bets, these insurances. But it's great when you make an insurance when you know you're going to manipulate the market. Absolutely great. Part of the old scheme, been tried and tested before, 1929, 1933. What they're doing now, bringing the market up 5 or 10%, dropping it down 15% while the market goes down and down and down and down and down. Congress has the right under the Constitution to issue paper money. It was given to them to use themselves, not to delegate to individuals or corporation. Andrew Jackson. The real truth of the matter is, as you and I know, that a financial element in a large centre has owned the government of the United States since the day of Andrew Jackson. And that was from U.S. President Franklin D. Roosevelt in a letter written in November 21st, 1933. You know, at the turn of the century, there's runs on banks and stuff. No one liked bankers, and bankers have had it very easy scamming office for so long. Times are changing, and what people aren't saying is they need to. I was reading there, someone's calling for a super Fed. They don't want the Fed, they want a super Fed. Get all the Feds together, you know, one world currency, one world government, led by Rothschild and his minions, and, you know, we're all supposed to take it, you know, after losing, you know, $50 trillion. You mean, whatever you have left, they're going to come after your homes, your guns, your organic food, HR 875, they're coming after our organic farmers. You can grow organically, but you can't transport it to market. You need special permits and stuff. So they're going after the organic farmers on the way, and all these little sneaky laws get passed in with the stimulus package. You know, this $787 billion stimulus package. It's full of pork. It's full of pork. It's also got a lot of these criminal acts of Congress being forced on them, or they're just signing them for their masters, the puppet masters. And in 2 or 3 years' time, someone will say, oh, they're taking my liberty away from me. And then they'll say, yeah, it was in the stimulus package, stupid. Now, Ron Paul, I was reading there during the week, they want a time delay before legislation is passed. For example, 72 hours up to 3 to 10 days. Because when you have, you know, a Patriot Act, 580 odd page document, and you have 40 minutes to read it, and when you go to page one, it says referring to act something in some other act in some other year, impossible to have without a computer and have access instantly to all the information, even if you understood it. So they're trying to push some time in between bills, which will stop the puppeteers, the Talmudic puppet masters, from getting all their legislation passed so quickly. Time is running out here because of the banking situation. People won't have any money to do anything. U.S. Army documents describe Israel as a nuclear power. In a rare breach of official American adherence to the Israeli policy of nuclear ambiguity, the U.S. military, I hate that Harris Richard loads the page when you're in the middle of it, the U.S. military is terming Israel a nuclear power on a par with Russia, China, India, Pakistan and North Korea, all of which have declared their nuclear weapons. And ahead of nuclear threshold powers, Japan, South Korea, Taiwan, and emerging Iraq. That's from Haaretz from the 8th of March. I was reading, people have been reading into it, is Eli Wiesel from Simon Wiesenthal Center isn't so clean after all. There's even reports out that he's not who he says he is. I wouldn't be surprised, at least. I always found it suspect that he was in 8 camps and he survived, you know, the German, the efficient German death machine that, you know, gassed 6 million or however many the Jews tell us they gassed. And if you say you don't agree, they'll put you in prison. Be interesting to see if they'll make a movie about that. I mean, the history of another great Jewish con man. You go along with, you know, blockbusters in late 2009, the Madoff affair, the Eli Wiesel affair, the Levon affair. Maybe make a documentary about get that, I don't know what his Jewish actor's name, and play some part in a new movie, a new spoof on the USS Liberty or something like that. All coming. It's very difficult to trust the bankers, trust the people, the government. I'm not talking about trust the government in that sort of way, but when they're reporting on these financial matters, they just don't understand. They're told what to say. The government is funded by the bankers. So do you not see a problem? All the governments, just about anyone that has any, owes anyone money, they owe it to the bankers, and they always owe it to the Chinese, and it's the King of Spain and all that bullshit. The bankers invent the money out of nothing. The IMF, one-fifth of Britain's GDP spent so far on the bailouts, and we're only the 11th of March. Bank of England brings out $2 billion in this quantitative easing today. $2 billion, they're buying up gilts, equivalent to T-bonds in the States. So they've invented $2 billion, 2,000 million pounds sterling, out of nowhere. They're buying their own debt, and this is going to work. Okay, never has before, and it's never going to work. Maybe in the short term they get a little bounce, but the system is going down. We need to prepare for massive unemployment. People need to organize in smaller communities, think about food and water, water supplies, security. Young kids, older members of the family need to reunite, and all the thought isn't maybe the most appealing to a lot of people as the parents move back in with you. But if you leave it too late, we'll be in 10 cities and they'll be scrapping, giving out food to us like to give out to the Palestinians. And if people want to know what it's going to be like, imagine what it's like being in Palestine, where the Jewish state of Israel block medicine from going in. Diabetics suffer. There's not how much a diabetic can do if he doesn't have insulin, and the Israelis do that on a daily basis, an absolute daily basis. I don't know. There's a I'm going to have had a quick email there. See your brother Nathaniel. Real Jew News got his the Jews went after him, the equivalent of the ADL in Canada went after him, and his internet service provider shut him down. So he's anti-Semitic and he's a Jew, so let's figure it out. Now, interesting about the brother Nathaniel was his calling out of Alex Jones as a Zio keeper, as an employee of the Zionist regime of Rothschild, and him having two Jewish children. His wife is Jewish. She can convert all she likes, but in the eyes of Israel, the right of return, both children are Einstein, or what the other kid is called, have the right to return to Italy. And so it was suggested, when the doo-doo hits the proverbial fan, Alex will actually dart over to Israel and he'd be proclaimed a big hero for all his good work, keeping people away from talking about Zionism, the Jewish Mossad role in 9/11. He knows that he'll say it all off air, and when he doesn't think he's on record, he's been caught a couple of times. He knows the story, then why does he lie? Why does he lie in a daily? I talk about these things all the time. I talk about them all the time. No, you don't, Alex. No, you don't. Your forum is run by a sicko. This guy's sane. This guy, I don't know who this guy is. I'd love to see him get. I don't know. Maybe some people, I know people do listen to AJ still. If this guy ever comes on radio, if this guy is, I've seen he posted 22,000 posts, which is mainly chastising people that don't go along with his or Alex's point of view. Welcome to the real world, saying we're looking at you. There's a few of us looking at you and your shitty little forum. We're watching. I don't know, I'm tired. It's follow the money. People are talking about the effects, the ongoing effects. For me, they're ongoing. This hasn't really hit in here in Switzerland. In Ireland, it has hit in. I'm aware of it. from my family, personally, I'm aware of. Here it's been, but in places like Africa, people, all these Valentine's Day roses and all this bullshit, most of them come from Africa, or huge farms in Africa, been wiped out, all closed down, no credit, banks won't give them. And if you go in, the big banks in Africa are the same HSBC, and the same crowd are in Europe and America and Asia, and watch them come out now in the next few months. New banks are going to show up with new capital, bailed out money. They're going to come out with new names and new catchphrases, and they're going to help you. And they're not, they're going to enslave us, enslave us all. Been listening to a few audios in the last few days. I listened to Lady Michelle Renouf, a couple of her audios. She was on Rents. I heard her on BBC, and it ties back to the bishop. What is the full story? How come this was recorded in November in Germany? It wasn't recorded until a couple of days before he was the excommunication was removed. There's questions to be asked there. Jailingopinions.com is Lady Michelle Renouf's website, and you should learn about Bira Bistan, the original Jewish homeworld, which is 81 years old this year. And interesting site, .co.uk, biribistan.co.uk. I'm not going to spell it to you right now, it's not in front of me. Reading on the BBC this morning, I was actually reading on Reuters, Bloomberg, CNBC, BBC, do my little round, Haaretz. Oh Jesus, you have to follow the Israeli news, Jesus, at least they tell you what they think is going to happen, and they're not afraid to say it. It's the doublespeak. On Bloomberg's and on CNBC, they were saying Bernanke, Zionist, thinks that we might be out of the recession by the end of the year. But then I went to, about 4 seconds later, I was on a BBC, the Brussels Broadcasting Corporation, or the Brown Broadcasting Corporation, and it says, worst crisis since 1930, says Fed. US Federal Chief Ben Bernanke says the world is suffering from the worst financial crisis since the 1930. Mr. Bernanke argues that the roots of the global economic downturn stem from global imbalances in trade and flows of capital in the late 1990s. Now, I wonder if that has got anything to do with his predecessor. I wonder. I wonder. I wonder. I wonder. I don't know. It's nice here to be on TIU, theinfounderground.com, no big network, no sponsors, no Jewish satellites, no Zionists that we know of. There's three of us, Savage, Mobs, and myself doing shows. Listen to the boys' shows there, download them. You can download all the stuff freely from our direct downloads from our site, theinfounderground.com. And good if you sign up and come and roll the dice with us and come and tell us what you think. We've had a lot of new members in recent last month or two, bringing some interesting research. New research, different angles of stuff that we've been looking into in the last couple of hundred years that we can find or prove or type it. And we're trying to rally the people of Ireland to prepare for this onslaught against the Irish people. And you'll notice that it's by people that run the money system, the banking system. The IMF told the government, cut 12%. So they've kind of come to, the government thinks they can get away with scamming 7% off people's wages, and they want to hit the pensions and give less medical services. And then Ireland's in dire straits here, and it's not going to get any better. It's going to get a lot worse. But it's going to take a couple of months for all of this to pipe her down. But we're losing 1,000, 1,200 jobs a week. That's not including underemployed people. So underemployment is you work 3 days a week or 4 days a week, and you still don't make, or you won't make enough in the 3 or 4 days to survive. But you know, you have to just squeeze out a living. UK, I'm not a. From English people I've met, I haven't heard anyone say it's bad. From Irish people, yeah. From the UK, which is in bigger problems than Ireland, because they lose the Bank of the City of London, this little criminal Rothschild-run inner city of London, as the square mile, owned by Rothschild, not by the Queen. And the Queen is only bought and paid for Chavez Goyim. That's going to go down, but the City of London won't go down. They'll still be in charge. So it'll be interesting to see who their next lot of politicians are going to be, who are going to be the next talking heads for the Zionists and the Jewish cabal that serve under Rothschild or that follow him or think that they are, you know, part of his group. We'll have to see. There's a couple of blogs. There seems to be a lot of blogs taken offline. There seems to be a lot of them. We're still hopeful getting Wake Up From Your Slumber back up. But interesting one is always moonofalabama.org is one I like. There's some very good articles there. There's one there, The Crash Will Change Political System. World assets markets have lost $50 trillion. U.S. stocks lost $11 trillion in market value alone in 2008. The virtual wealth that was counted on by big and small investors and a lot of pension funds. The losses, as well as the current government interventions, will bring a sea change in the attitudes and opinions of people all over the world. It is likely to change political system. I'll just read what's highlighted here. The legacy of the market will weaken. The credibility of the US will be damaged, and the authorities of China will rise. The transformed capital and the role of government for a half a century. Goes on. It's an interesting article. There often are some pretty decent articles over there. I'm going to check that out. A lot of people blogs I've been reading the last few months have gone over to the other side, gone over to positive fascism and Nazism and Aryans and I'm just not there. Not going to happen with me. I watched a video from Goyim Pride, and I watched it yesterday. He sent me the link. I have him on Skype, and we've started. I've never spoken to the guy. Greg is in his name, I think. And he made a 7 or 8 minute video about positive fascism and Aryan race and the problem is the blacks and this and that and whatever. So I just passed a comment to him on Skype. I said, you know, what you going to do with the niggers? You know, what you going to do? What you going to do? You going to send them back to Africa? You know, what country are you going to send them to? And the guy seems to me, he said, you know, yeah, you're being sarcastic, which I was. But that's one of my questions is, I think he said today, well, we'll segregate them and we'll give them part of America. Hold on, how the fuck do you do that? You don't even control your own government. Zog owns their government. So how can you have these fancy plans against the blacks and the Asians and the Mexicans and God knows who, the Irish or whoever, Irish Catholics? I mean, you know, they weren't very popular in a lot of the white movements, Catholics, because they were more Protestant based, just to tell you how ridiculous it all is. We're not fighting the real enemy. They're getting away with it. More divide and conquer. It's all bullshit. And when wait till the proverbial crap hits the proverbial fan, and you're down to a small community, whether they're, I don't know, Asians, blacks, and you know, or whites. And if these people are no good, lazy, or they're no, get rid of them. I have no problem throw them out of your little community if they're not pulling their own weight. But you know, this just, you know, on color. I mean, Michael Jackson, he's white for me. You know what I mean? The guy is now, he's probably whiter than I am. and then there's John and Paul thinking, I don't want to get too much into it. I don't like the direction whatsoever there. I think it's there's something odd there. John definitely is something odd. So I had a quick chat with him yesterday on Skype, and he's working with the revisionists now as his latest news. So he's gone from Ron Paul, 9/11, the Zionists, the anti-Jews, the whites, I've seen Daryl has a little warning up on the top of his site, which I agree with. No to racism, fascism, or Nazis. Not going to cut it. Just more divide and conquer. We're getting on here to 7:30 p.m. European Central Time. It's 1:30 in New York. I'll play a bit of music, a bit of mobs. I don't know where I come out. I'm exhausted. I'm absolutely exhausted. Even if I'm not working overworking, it's just the whole thing is on my nerves. I really made a big effort in recent times to avert people that interest me, my friends, my family, neighbors, some clients, about what's going on. Been trying to fix up a few radio interviews with an Irish American guy coming on soon on oil, Brother Nathaniel. I sort out some time. It's a question of timing for me because I still have to go, you know, 9-to-6 job and other family responsibilities and stuff, but I'm going to squeeze in this. I also want to discuss a movie made in 1947 called Gentleman's Agreement, which I have a clip of, which I found interesting. It's Gregory Peck is in it, and he goes undercover and he tells everyone that he's a Jew in 1947 to see if there's anti-Semitism in America in 1947, made by Hollywood. Seen a couple of interesting videos now. I've been looking more at the C-SPAN. I'd like to see what these people are up. You know, checked out the Guardian. Private companies now will be able to track all your emails and calls. That's coming up. The private sector will be asked to manage and run a communications database that will keep track of everyone's calls, emails, texts, and internet use under a key option contained in the consultation paper to be published next month by Jackie Smith, the Home Secretary. All this stuff is coming up, more surveillance, less rights, you know, I've been called lots of things. Oh, you're a head case, you're a conspiracy theorist, and then people are starting to come around. The people that are starting to come around are the people that interest me, people that don't see any Zionist influence, Rothschild influence, banker influence on the government, on the who runs the lobbies. We all talk about how powerful the lobbies are. Who the fuck pays the lobbyists? I mean, shit. It gets obvious if you follow the money, but some people are afraid of this anti-Semitism, because when you go down the road of following the money, you will go down the road and you will have to find out what the Jewish involvement is, what is the Talmud, who are the Rothschilds, what was their history, how did they manipulate banks, you know, by their lobbyists and whatever. I might be back. Mobby, or whatever you call him, lift me up, give me some extra energy. I'm really low on energy. I'm eating pretty good. It's not that I'm just tired. Things on my head. I'm watching it, trying to figure out the little bits and pieces. And Jesus, don't come to me to hear the whole story. It's all them other radio jocks out there that know everything, and they're always right. I'll say it as I read it as I see it. My research is obviously open to change, but my principles and points of view are slightly open to change, but I'm fairly know the direction I'm going in. I don't want to start a fight with other people, other religions, other coloured people, minority people. You know, we have minorities here in my home city, Vietnamese, Chinese, blacks, East Europeans, Romanians, South Americans, Arabs, and whatever. And you know, I can have my own personal opinions. I don't get in these people's faces and just hassle them because they were born in different parts of the world. I'll say Augie out for now. TheInfoUnderground.com. and we'll be back soon, hopefully with a couple of guests. As I said, a question of timing and energy and timing, and try and make it up a decent show, get down to some new to bring to the forums at TIU some new information, because what I've noticed is by doing these audios, I'm feeding people will listen and they'll check into some of these things and they'll find out more, and they're posting more of this stuff and gives us more stuff to look at and you know, help us figure it out. So it's all about that. Come over to the forum, sign up, say hello to us, roll the old dice. You know, when you're a member, we do roll the dice once a day or so, and if you ever get a one, you'll often hear feck, and if you get a six, you'll hear all sorts of good stuff. You roll the dice. And of course this had to screw up, so I'll continue for a little bit. We got the music back. I can let it play in the background. Served us so well, served us so well. We traveled through hell, oh how we fell, oh how we fell. Right, that was another guy I forgot to mention, Charles Freeman, who stepped down and withdrew his candidacy from the National Intelligence, because he's an Israelophobe. He can't stand the policies of Israel, like myself. And they're still crying out for their soldier that's missing. No mention of the 10,000 semi-Palestinians in Israeli prisons. Mark to market accounting. I love this. You hear this all the time. Mark to market is an accounting methodology of assigning a value to a position held in a financial instrument. There you go. Based on the current market price for the instrument or similar instruments. For example, the final value of futures contract that expires in 6 months will not be known until it expires. If it is marked to market for accounting purposes, it is assigned a value that it would fetch on the open market as of today. Now, if you knew that you could control the markets, which they've been doing, and the stock is going to go down, so you can have your super marked to market today, get your big Christmas bonuses, billions of dollars. And then, you know, the market goes down in 6 months when the contract comes to be paid, and these people use naked short selling to bring it down. So the market's going to go down. I'm just going to go a little quick look at the markets here before we finish up. I use finance.yahoo.com. It gives you a fairly FTSE is down 0.5%. US is gone negative. Let's check the price of gold before we go. Gold is running at per ounce up $10 at $907.80. Dollars been fairly stable, and I'm waiting for a black day, a down day is coming, and I'd say sooner rather than later, but we are going to have some up days and down days and whatever. As I said, the market is manipulated. Mike WB sent me an email and he said Augie, get into gold and oil. Now I was writing him a reply. Mike, he listened to this audio, so he knows I read his email. Forum administrator, and an excellent poster. People should come over and read some of Mike's posts. For me, getting up early in the morning, six to half seven, before I have to dart out. Mike Huseby is posting some fairly decent articles and mainstream articles that people will miss. And you need to come on the forums, theinfounderground.com. The Ogner is out. Over.